The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today it's finally Friday. Friday, March 7th, it's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. And once again, this is C.A. Nuri, and I shall be your host for the day. Today, it's a crowd at the Sports Center. And right next to SAC, there is QC. I mean, St. John's is there. But QC has a crowd at the Sports Center. I was asked on social media, why grown adults who have finished school for 20, 30, 40, 50 plus years are at the sports center in droves attending a sports meet, cheering on their high school. And I said, man, it is what it is. The people want cheer. SAC is an institution. Queen's College is an institution. St. John's, Kingsway, St. Anne's are institutions. I want to big up right now Temple Christian, who is doing well. I remember when I was in school, Temple Christian used to come like 7th and 8th. They're now in 3rd place. They have a distance at this present time. But for a small school to do this well is something to be heralded. And clearly they're doing something special at that school, and I want to commend them. Today's show is being brought to you by CONCACAF, which they have a CONCACAF Beach Soccer Championships at Malcolm Park Beach Soccer Stadium in Nassau, of course. And on March 11th through 16th, watch the Junkanoo Boys, which is our boys, Bohemian Boys, will take on top teams like Panama and, of course, the USA. It's free to attend. Come out and support your team. And that's going to be 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 6 days of event. I remember Aaron mentioned that at 8 p.m. is when you remember?
Yeah, so the Bahamian games, all games featuring Junkanoo Boys, are scheduled to start at 8 p.m., giving the local spectators a chance to finish up their day and come out and support the team.
Yes. So I just want to remind people that our show is being sponsored by them. And if you can, go out, you know, go out around 7:30, 8 o'clock and eat some popcorn and hot dog and cheer on the Bahamas team. We're doing wonders with that sports stadium there, that beach soccer. It's actually being used, doing well in terms of the sport. We are international, and it's something that we need to cheer about and smile about. Also, what I want to talk about today, mind you, my guest who I had planned for, a ambassador for People to People, supposed to have come on today, and then she was still working on getting permission from the Ministry of Tourism, because you got to go through all the rigmaroles to do that. And I know People to People are celebrating, I think it's 80 years maybe of doing that. I got to look. It can't be 80 years. Let me look at my notes. They're celebrating how a number of years that they've been doing that. And I didn't know that people to people still goes on. I remember hearing that song. Who that song was by?
Is that Eddie Minnis?
Eddie Minnis. How'd the song go now? People to people. You know the words?
I know the most important words.
People to people part?
The people to people part.
No, but I grew up with the song. I remember the Eddie Minnis song. But you could always call in and say it. But it was a big thing back then. But so the organizers are planning their media walk and in regards to that. So I guess they'll wait on that to before they launch. But I really wanted to have that discussion because I was privileged to attend a People to People event. They're doing this 50th year, the 50th year of celebrating the program. So that's going to be exciting when they do decide to come on the airwaves and explain that People to People is still going on and that you can become an ambassador and host. The lady who hosted the event last Wednesday hosted like a media group out of Canada. and they were interacting with Bahamians, eating Bahamian food, experiencing junk canoe, talking to different people about our culture, how we do business, the differences. They even talked some politics back and forth. You know, Trudeau was in the news. Of course, Trump was in the news. And they were able to socialize and laugh, right, to get the culture of the Bahamas and explain why the food tastes like this. What's the seasoning, right? With how many different islands, talk, shop, and all. And that was different, to get that connection and that interaction. And I said, okay, I didn't know the Ministry of Tourism still does that. So I would love to have that conversation again and go get in some details. So hopefully Ministry of Tourism will reach out and have that. I'm not sure if you saw that meteor shower. I'm putting that in quotes there. The reason why I use that, because at one point in time, social media was ablaze. I saw one post where the lady began to cry, hysterical, saying it's the end of the world. And I'm saying, miss, you serious? Then I saw a number of posts, several posts, where people said, no, that is definitely a meteor shower. And they must take cover because it seems as if it's going to land near them. I see a number of people were in their panic mode, trying to find out what it is. I saw one commentary, and I love hearing that Bahamian accent. When it was a young boy, he said, man, that's Elon Musk and his spaceship. Quite aware of what was happening, right? And so I smiled and said, at least he has sense. But apparently it's another crash, explosion for one of the space X program, and I wanted to give some details about that. I see that which was this? Let me read that note. I don't know if Aaron got that note at all.
Which one? The statement from Adrian Gibson about the space rockets?
No, but you can read that too if you have that.
So I've got a couple of articles here. SpaceX Starship breaks apart after launch and second failure in a row. SpaceX debris grounds flights at South Florida Airport. Statement from Long Island MP Adrian Gibson. And then there's a statement. You looking for the statement from the government?
Yeah, I'm looking for the statement from the government.
I got that one as well, if you want me to read it.
The government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It says, just say for the government of the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. It didn't say which agency.
Yep.
Okay, you have that?
Yeah, all right. On the evening of March 6th, 2025, SpaceX launched its Starship rocket from Star Base in Texas, United States. Minutes after takeoff, contact was lost with the spacecraft and debris was subsequently observed streaming over the Bahamas. The Bahamas has no regulatory authority under the Bahamas Civil Aviation, the Space Flight and Reentry Regulations 2025, over SpaceX's Starship operations, and this incident is not part of the Bahamas' existing relationship with SpaceX's Falcon 9 program, which involves controlled booster landings in Bahamian waters following launches from Kennedy Space in Florida. The FAA issues the launch license for Starship exercises. The Bahamas was required under an existing treaty to issue a notice to mariners for maritime safety coordination. The debris from Starship fell into our airspace in the southern Bahamas. Following the incident, SpaceX contingency measures, which includes immediate and continual communication with Bahamian officials, SpaceX has assured the government that, one, the debris contains no toxic materials, two, no significant impact on marine life or water quality is expected, three, SpaceX team debris recovery and cleanup efforts. We expect our applicable agencies, inclusive of the Department of Environmental Planning and Protection, will observe the cleanup activities. We emphasize that this Starship is not a part of the Bahamas' Falcon 9 program. The government of the Bahamas remains engaged with SpaceX and will continue to monitor the situation to ensure proper recovery actions are carried out.
And I appreciate this press release, even though I have some questions, and I guess we could talk about that for a while if you wish, Aaron. One, our relationship with SpaceX is the Falcon 9.
Right.
It seems as if we only have one ship or one engagement, seems, with them. And it seems to be the Falcon 9, whatever that is.
So our contractual relationship with SpaceX involves one particular program, which involves one particular aspect, right? So it is the booster rockets for launches that will land in our waters. And it's booster rockets for SpaceX Falcon 9 rockets.
Okay.
Right?
I also see there is a SpaceX Starship. That's the name of that program. SpaceX Starship. And that's what had that explosion.
Right. And
yesterday.
And so SpaceX Starship is a part of a program. I think they're trying to get to the moon. What we experienced yesterday was the eighth program. And unfortunately, also the second disruption or accident or failure, the second in a row of those eight test runs.
And this SpaceX Starship is the plan to go to the moon or to Mars or in space and beyond, in contrast to the one that is launching the booster thing.
Falcon 9, SpaceX Falcon 9 rockets are launching satellites, like in low orbit. Mm-hmm. And I think this Starship intends to go into a higher orbit, or right beyond higher orbit and into space.
It's like Enterprise, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the Starship Enterprise. Its continuing mission to seek new life. You didn't watch Star Trek?
Yeah, but the last episode I watched, they was going to Mayaguana.
That's a different Star Trek.
No, it's the same one. They couldn't find it.
No, that's Gilligan's Island.
Because they said don't. I mean, it's magical. They said don't. It may not exist. But that's the last journey, the final frontier. That's the last time I watched. I mean, that's the last time I paid my cable bill. So
yeah.
I didn't follow up.
You can see you're not a Trekkie. So there are a number of Bahamians who were startled, concerned, and mind you, I don't fault Bahamians to be concerned about their environment. It's their environment. They need to voice their concern, and the government needs to respond to their concern. Mm-hmm. One of their concern is whether the space starship mm-hmm. is the same as Falcon 9. Now we know that it's not.
Yeah.
And I can put me inside it just because I'm Bahamian. We were concerned whether this launch was a part of what the government signed with this SpaceX. And we find out that's not what's happening. However, there is concern now whether this starship is invading our airspace. Do we have sovereignty over our airspace? And if we do have sovereignty over our airspace, can we direct this SpaceX not to come on our airspace anymore? That we're not interested? That's one. And we mentioned debris. I know that Turks and Caicos had debris that landed on land. This particular starship had debris that landed in the sea, right? And I see inside this press release by this government agency, Government of the Bahamas, official release, it says that the debris contains no toxic materials, right? That's one. No marine life or water quality is expected. That's two. And SpaceX teams will be in the Bahamas, they come in here, to conduct a full debris recovery and cleanup efforts. And that's the 3 points, and I can let you comment on that. And then I see the caller is on. So I see you, caller. We're coming to you soon. Go ahead, Aaron.
All right, so there's a couple of concerns. When they say the debris contains no toxic materials, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that statement needs to be qualified, because the way the toxicity works, water can be toxic to a human if we consume too much of it, right? So toxicity isn't just about the thing itself, but it may be about the amount of the thing that exists in a particular space. And so while SpaceX is saying the debris contains no toxic materials, right, we don't know if those materials at its normally occurring levels is not toxic, but in the way that it enters the water, it does become toxic.
Okay.
The second thing is this, I would have expected to see the same sort of regulations that the Turks and Caicos Island government released mm-hmm. after the January explosion, which I think is a part of the Starship program, right? But mm-hmm. that I would have expected to see a similar release indicating to the public what the protocol is if they do encounter any thing they may think is space debris. We got an archipelago.
That's mostly absent.
And then we need it also for tourists, because we got a whole bunch of people who are non-citizens who are moving through the water regularly. It's something else I would have expected, particularly with the finalization, the formalization of the relationship with SpaceX specific to Falcon 9 landings, and then expanded for now that we understand that we are also involved in projects that we're not contractually involved in, right? Mm-hmm. So the Starship program, if the flight path is over the Bahamas, that means we should be a part of the conversation.
Yep.
So I expect to see on ZNS and then to be disseminated through the private media houses, small PSAs telling us what we would likely see in the sky when there is a launch. So you show us images. This is what you're going to see when there's a launch coming from Texas. This is what you're going to see if there's a launch coming from Florida. These are all of these images are normal, right? Like I saw a video yesterday where the people say this is an unidentified flying object, right? Yeah. They're like, we don't know what this is. It was like a bright thing that almost looked like it had a cloud of light around it.
Yes.
And then for a moment, I thought to myself, oh boy, people, is it just the moon moving through the clouds?
There are people who thought it was the moon and thought right. It was some strange phenomenon.
Then it kept moving. Like you could see that, okay, no, this passed it. This thing was moving through the clouds, right? And it had like this ball around it. See, here's what the problem is. Like you say, I'm obviously not a Trekkie, but lots of us, we watch movies and television. We know what a spaceship should look like when it's traveling through the sky, right? Mm-hmm. That particular video with that particular image, when people were saying, oh, it's an alien craft, it's a spacecraft, it appeared to me that the explosion, like the mishap was happening. And so those lights we saw around the vehicle, like the gases in the explosion, which made it look like something we have not normally seen on television or in movies. Mm-hmm. So I think a good thing to help people navigate the new space and be able to make critical and reasonable conclusions about what they're seeing is for the do a PSA, make it 20 minutes long.
Okay, and I want to explore that.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to the caller and I'm going to ask you questions in terms of what you would like to see, what you think you deserve to hear about
from, as a citizen, and then as a family island resident.
Yes. And as a family island resident also, especially when there was no warning that there's a launch happening and you might see something. But let's go to the caller first. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri.
How can very I sure as usual, C.A. Nuri. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Thank you.
Hey, wait a minute. Okay, I just mentioned the car insurance, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see where they have stipulated that if any rocket or rocket materials or alien life or anything of a sort drop on your house or vehicle, that they would pay for it. So what's supposed to take place in because I don't know about you, but I have a very, 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 very nice house.
I mean, I don't even own it, but it's mine nice. It have a whole roof, and the roof is waking the rain. So one of the things I expect to see is a series of statements from the local insurance industry on whether policies will change to reflect this new daily reality.
Yeah, because I'm 100% sure they will not pay. If one of those rockets drop on top of someone's house or on top of their vehicle, which means that now you'll have to take a piece of tree or something, drag the rocket off of your property and throw on top of your house just to claim insurance.
Okay, pause. I got a good solution for that, but let's start here. Let's not say that we know that insurance ain't going to pay for that. What we do know is that insurance companies will only cover what is clearly and explicitly outlined in your insurance policy. So
but
the point
I don't see rocket or rocket debris.
Well, you got to go talk to your insurance agent right away.
And add it to your insurance?
It looks like we need to have a lobby to compel the state and the insurance industry to have a conversation about potential or maybe net policy shifts. In the alternate, since we've had no official statement from our government as to what you're supposed to do with debris, if you find it, try hard, see if you could sell that on eBay to cover the cost of repairing your house.
Okay, I'm going to contact my insurance company right now.
Yeah, do that first.
Try to get that added to my policy.
Yeah, don't try sell it first.
Thank you very much,
do that first.
So, Aaron.
Yeah.
You raised some concerns on what should be happening.
Yeah.
right? As a citizen, and particularly family island. Let's start off as a regular citizen first, and yeah. then hopefully we can separate the family island. The gentleman who just called mentioned his insurance, his uneasiness on whether it's going to be covered in terms of his person.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine walking and getting hit by a flying debris.
Mm-hmm.
His car, his house, whatever,
mm-hmm.
right? What, say, the spaceship, SpaceX, spaceship.
Starship.
Starship, it's going to be launched tomorrow.
Right.
We know it's going to be launched tomorrow. What would you expect to see? What would you expect to happen, knowing that it's going to launch tomorrow as a citizen?
Okay, so.
What would you want to happen?
I expect a PS, I expect a statement from the government, right? From a particular unit whose job things. And I expect a statement to say there's a Starship launch tomorrow. Here is the path that the craft is expected to take. Here are the zones that should be concerned if there is a mishap, like there is an explosion. So this is the path it's going to take if all goes as planned. If it doesn't go as planned, here are the potential zones in which you may experience debris falling. Once you have identified those to the public, I expect, especially on the family islands, I expect the administrators and the MP constituency teams to organize local plans or protocols. So when there's a rocket launch, if this island is in the path of the launch, then we are on high alert until the launch is over successfully. And then if there is an explosion, we have a protocol that we are to evacuate the area because we don't know what's going to happen. Now, if the path is an entire island.
Okay.
Right? Like if I don't expect it, though, right? Because I think it goes perpendicular to the basic layout of our islands.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't necessarily expect that. But that's the level of planning that we should have for this. You know, and it should be in advance. You don't just get the news the day before in the nightly news. There should be, and the information should also be stored and accessible on a website and on paper in Family Island Administrator offices. The path, you let those islands know you go on high alert 30 minutes before the launch or within that launch, whatever that launch window is, everybody in that path is on high alert. Coupled with the PSAs telling us what to look for in the sky. This is what a successful rocket path looks like. This is what you're going to see if it's exploding and what to do next. That's the first thing. The next thing is you should have, even if it's like you deputize, if you can't use the RBDF or RBPF marine units to be deployed in those paths, those people should be on call if there is an explosion. Right, so they could go out as soon as is safe into the waters. And then there should be a team whose job it is to, you create a grid of the aquatic, aquamarine, because you're going to use your chart, your tide charts. You're going to use all those navigation tools to determine if debris fell here, at this hour, at this level of tide, where is it likely to go? And you're going to have teams. You're not waiting for residents to say they spotted. You're sending those teams out.
And I see a call. I'm coming to you right now. When we saw the release from Turks and Caicos, they mentioned not to touch the debris.
Right. Safety concerns.
Our government didn't mention that. So I'm not sure, since there was no warning by our officials, if I find a debris, surely I can retain it and secure it. And like you said, try... make a profit off it on eBay.
Well, what I'm saying is if the government does not clearly delineate what the protocol is, what the laws are around it. Now, from this notice, what we learn is that it appears as if the government has just passed or tabled in the process of passing the Civil Aviation Spaceflight in 2025.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe in those regulations, we will see these things outlined explicitly and clearly, right? But until legislation including those provisions are enacted, it may not be against the law to touch the debris, to collect the debris, to attempt to sell the debris. But It's risky. It could be dangerous.
Could.
You could die.
May not.
You may not, but you could die.
Did you watch Spider-Man in terms of how he became Spider-Man?
Right. Because here's what I said.
He had that spider would have that
if there is
radiation.
If there is an alien on the piece of pod that you collect, who's now responsible for the alien? Is the alien now your dependent?
Did you watch how the Incredible Hulk got his power through the radiation? You know, all my life I wanted to be a superhero. And now you're trying to say I must not go and touch it.
First question, can you swim?
Not well.
So if you ain't gonna be...
I might turn into Aquaman. If I touch the debris, I got through my metamorphosis, and then I change.
Mm-hmm.
I can save us from the crime. Think big.
Poaching, you become the...
Whatever crime it is.
Because you could be in the water.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a superhero name yet.
You said goodbye to your family?
To become a superhero? Well, I gotta wear a mask.
Aquaman? No, because you could live in the water now.
I never thought about that, but thanks.
Remember the amphibious part. You need to be amphibious.
And I don't speak dolphin well. Let me speak to this caller.
Can you come to my class?
Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri. And of course, Aaron Green is with me. We're talking SpaceX. Doing well.
Good, thank you, sir. Good.
Pleasure, man. Aaron, I have a complete detail. I don't even think SpaceX got them protocols you mentioned just now. Listen, man, this a wake-up call for us. Although that was in our plan, returning to our agreement,
mm-hmm.
that's still lying here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can't turn on the lights on the runway in the family island when we need to get someone on the flight properly. Or we still toting people on back of the truck when we have a boat accident in the family island. And you're talking about picking up debris. They still collecting the debris in Turks and Caicos Island after the last explosion.
Yeah.
They still ain't cleaning that up. The thing is, we need the government reassurance that SpaceX tell them what they don't even know who's paying for it. We don't know that. We have no details. This is our backyard. And what I noticed yesterday was that airspace had to close.
Mm-hmm. Florida, Fort Lauderdale, and Miami.
Exactly. So if something happens here for a couple of dollars and we have to close our airspace, the tourism industry is now, and transportation is impacted on a larger scale.
Mm-hmm.
Because of something that's done for what? $1 billion donated to COB?
Yeah.
You know? Let me stop you right there.
You just confused two different space programs, right? One is SpaceX Starship, and then the next one is SpaceX Falcon 9. Yesterday has nothing to do with Falcon 9. And then you mentioned the donation to the UB. That's Falcon 9. That's have nothing to do with the SpaceX Starship.
I understand it had nothing to do.
So I didn't want you confused to conflate the two different issues.
Something entered our atmosphere from a company that we just signed an agreement with, Falcon 9, right? For Falcon 9. People are sitting in their homes. The public ain't care about Falcon 9 or no difference, but they know that was Elon Musk's program in their homes, and they hear the big bang. People ran for their kids. They window shake, their house rattled. And if it was from an incident that didn't have anything to do with our launches, but it's from the exact same company who couldn't control that left America, and they lost contact. So it's the same company. And
perhaps our government needs to see what type of response in the future.
The statement the government released, right, mm-hmm. did not come fair. It ignored the real trauma behemoth fell last night. Especially those in that southern part of the country who woke up to find their communities under fallen debris from a failed space mission from not even that's supposed to be here. And this ain't about cleaning up. This is about respect, sovereignty, because we ain't really agree to this thing, you know. We ain't had no type of public consultation on this thing to see whether the people want this in their small island nation.
And again, I just remind you, there's two different programs, right?
I understand it's two different. if they can't contain this on a bigger level, what happens when something happens in our waters from the Falcon 9 program?
I think a way to reframe it is, because of our existing contractual relationship with SpaceX, is it possible that the government may hesitate on pushing the issue with SpaceX, that they need to explicitly declare what their obligations are to the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, not just with the contractual project, but with any other projects that they currently operate that may impact the Bahamas? Would our government perhaps feel a hesitation in having a strong conversation with them because they don't want to jeopardize the incentives or the compensation agreed to for the existing contractual program? I think that's what people are saying.
Aaron, exactly. But what compensation? What clear agreement? What safety protocols? What guarantee that the direct behemoth oversight are in place? We don't know.
That's a separate conversation. Because we can't see it, we are uncertain whether the protocols don't exist or they do exist, but we, the public, have not been given access to them.
Thank you. And that's all it is.
Thank you, Tex. Thank you, caller.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Clearly, there need to be more PSAs, and hopefully our government embraces the opportunity. The Bahamian people have voiced concerns that these are the things they want hashed out or explained to them moving forward. And again, this is something separate from the Falcon 9, but definitely the Falcon 9 has impact to us, because mm-hmm. we know a number of Bahamians are still concerned about that. And in terms of the environment and in terms of the landing and what else is the mishap, like, what if something goes wrong, what happens then? So that needs to be hashed out clear. So if A happens, what are the
consequences of that? Ramifications, obligations, and liabilities. And since we have evidence of structural impact, right, from both the landing of the boosters, and we have last night that they were impacted physically by the explosion, the accident in the sky. We have a statement from MP of Long Island, Adrian Gibson. And one of the things he says is, since then, based on updates from international news sources, it appears that the Starship exploded in space and the debris is now falling over the Bahamas. I've been sent countless photos and videos from Long Islanders, with many expressing concern that debris passed right over their homes. They've reported bright lights and heard extremely loud, thunderous sounds, quote, like the ground breaking, close quotes. I'm deeply concerned about the potential for debris to cause damage to homes, property, or even result in injury or death. So now we got two things happening, right? We have an increase in seismic activity mm-hmm. in the lower part of the northern half of the basin, right? We've had islands like Inagua, Mayaguana, saying that they experienced cracks in their buildings with recent earthquakes. And now we have the potential for space incidents to have a physical impact on homes. And so the question again is, are insurance agencies preparing public discussion about the potential for policy works, and the Attorney General's office exploring whether building codes need to be enhanced and what the liability and obligations should be in these instances? And do we have a statement from the government about who is ultimately responsible, right? Because mm-hmm. if you tell me mm-hmm. I can't touch the debris because it belongs to SpaceX, y'all don't mind my joke about potentially walking outside the line of the law. Mm-hmm. If the debris belongs to SpaceX, if I am not allowed to touch it or sell it, right, and it belongs to SpaceX, then surely SpaceX is responsible for remedying the damage or injury caused by their debris.
Don't we have salvage laws here? When it sink, you can go and recover it and it becomes yours? I don't know.
Well, we have one of the laws, one of the provisions I know is if you take on the task of removing the thing from where it is, like salvaging it, then you are responsible for remediating or mediating any environmental issues that occur or any damage caused by the removal.
Interesting. Let's go to the caller before we transition. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM, CNRA.
Yes, good morning. How you doing? I tell you, I think the government bite off more than they could chew this time, all in the sake of tourism. Chester Cooper, they just gonna boost our tourism industry. But I don't even know if they thought for the thought, to think for a second to see the damages it will cost. And, you know, consult with the Bahamian people. Who we have representing us? That's they trying to figure out. You don't just sell off the Bahamas for $1 billion. Because that debris coming down could kill anybody. And what about the people? What about the fishermen, the boaters out there in the water?
Yep.
I don't understand this. Bahamas is very small. I know that our water spread out more than 100,000 square miles, but we don't need that damage in our ecosystem. We don't need none of that stuff. Tell them to keep the $1 billion or $2 billion. They keep all that. We don't need that. We need our Bahamas. We need our, our population is too small. Imagine, man, that thing scared me, man. You know?
Yes, sir.
They need to reconsider that, man. They need to call that off.
Thank you very much, caller. Let's go to the next caller and then have your response.
There's no need to go to the moon. KB say he been there. KB say he been there and there's only lone little roads on the moon.
You read the prophecy that this earth is going to be destroyed by fire. These people are preparing to leave. I won't be on the number.
I could be honest. You go to the caller.
Yeah, I just won't be on the number.
I can tell you about
what. We got to leave this place.
I can tell you about one WhatsApp message I get last night.
Yeah, it's caller got it. Oh, yeah, hang on.
Sorry. Okay, so I got a WhatsApp message from Planet PTQRF297.
Okay, I remember hearing that on a movie. Go ahead.
And it was the weirdest message. They were like, I hear you have a pot. Our ship breaking down, and we heard you all have a pot. And I trying to figure out how I could get that pot from you, miss.
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost ready to sell it, Nuri.
If you can sell it and get
if
to leave.
These by them say they need this pot for their spaceship to wait,
yeah.
My neighbor was like, he think that could fix his Honda.
Yeah.
I tell him, oh boy, I just get a call from PTQ29 and I could make $1 million and you want to trade the pot.
SpaceX is the future. In about another 100 to 200 years, we'll be going into space.
The name is KB Dunn. I just like trying to tell you, KB Dunn, take us into space. Aisha Bo is the second Bahamian to go into space.
Yeah.
In fact, the third, because KB said Bahamian's already been there.
Like for any omelet, you got to break one or two eggs. And so I think this is where they're thinking. Perhaps we need to negotiate better moving forward.
Why do you want to scramble the Bahamas? You talking about
maybe scrambling eggs. Mm-hmm. In the Bahamas. Let's go to the next call. Go ahead, caller.
Got it. Yes, good morning to you on the screen.
Good morning.
Our issues are not just with hurricanes alone. Now you want to add this to these things from space falling down and stuff. It's too much, man.
But let's talk about that. And I can allow you to be on the line. Oh, you're on already. Okay. Let's say we never negotiated with Falcon 9. Let's just move Falcon 9 out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
Would SpaceX Starship be continuing without us? Will there be a launch still? I mean, they've been launching for a while.
Yeah. Okay, so if we had not created a contractual relationship.
Yeah,
like,
ignore that for a while.
Right. They're going to keep doing what they're doing, but there is still... See, whether the Bahamas government can control or compel the U.S. to better regulate that operation, that has nothing to do with us. Mm. All we could do is prepare ourselves, create our own regulations, tell them... Like, if we're truly sovereign,
mm-hmm.
then it don't matter. We tell you what is expected. Mm-hmm. So I like you say... Bahamians on the moon, they working hard.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have time to shoot down rockets coming over the Bahamas. We don't have that type of technology. That does not mean that you don't have a a legal, ethical, and moral obligation.
On the pathway for all of the SpaceX program, it's the entire Caribbean. So not necessarily just the Bahamas. It's the Bahamas, Cuba, all of there, this launch, rocket.
Thank God for CARICOM. So it means that...
I'm getting to it now.
Individual countries have to detail explicitly what their needs and concerns are.
Have you heard anything from CARICOM yet in regards to this?
I do not think that I have seen CARICOM, hold on, mentioned, but it's possible. I don't think so.
Because this is a Caribbean issue. It's not necessarily a Bahamas issue. And I think we taken it personally when it just happens. And we shouldn't. I'm not saying that we shouldn't because it's our waters now.
Right.
Yesterday's, mm-hmm. It was Turks and Caicos who making noise. Today, it's the Bahamas making noise. Next week, when the next launch of this Starship, it may be Jamaica making noise and then Puerto Rico making noise. If there is to be a response, if we are to be considered on an international stage to say, well, we make reasonable objections, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Perhaps it needs to be a voice of the Caribbean and not necessarily just the Bahamas.
Well, two things. I think you're right. There needs to be the voice of the Caribbean, and every individual country needs to speak as loudly as an individual as they do as a sum. Hmm. Right? Right? The best political strategy is to synchronize your unified collective statement with individual statements from all countries that highlight what their specific concern is, right? What their specific issue is. So, for example, let me go to the caller, Mike.
Okay. Let's go to the caller there, Kermit. First head call.
Hello.
You're live.
Yeah. Good day, Aaron and the host. My concern is the Bahamas government negotiated some sort of deal for them to land here. Now, I've watched the video yesterday, and I saw where people even had pictures from airplane that these pieces of the rocket was passing at the airplane and everything. Just suppose we have, say, Bahamas Air Flight with 70-something people on board and one piece of those rockets hit the plane and, God forbid, caused an accident. What legal and financial obligation government negotiate that would benefit the Bahamian people if something happened?
Let me interrupt you again. The government negotiated with the Falcon 9. This is separate. Can you hear me? The government negotiated
but you were coming out low.
Okay.
No,
let me make this point. 1 minute for me. The government negotiated with Falcon 9. Falcon 9 did not happen yesterday. When Falcon 9 comes, all of the planes are in the jurisdiction of the Bahamas are closed when that happens, right? Now, we may want to know what happens if some kind of explosion or accident happens in regards to that, and we may have to ask our leaders questions about that, but Falcon 9 has nothing to do with what happened yesterday.
Well, my thing is government should insist that any one of them rocket the company, be it SpaceX or Falcon 9 or whoever, they have to fly in the Bahamian airspace. So they should give us notice that, look, we're launching a rocket and at a particular time, and so that people would be aware of it, because people were calling it for sending off a bomb, experimental bomb. And, you know, it's all kind of other things. I saw must be about 15 different version of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so all these people in the family island might not be aware of this happening. And, you know, it could cause a scare all over the Bahamas.
Okay. I appreciate you calling. Let's see if we can squeeze this next caller in and then go to the text quickly. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM.
Mr.
I squeezed you in, 52, so you got
to
be quick.
Listen, man, you know, I know you don't want to hear from me, right?
But No. I listened to just the show about the over, and I want you to speak.
Right? Firstly, God's judgment will stretch all the way to space, so you can't dug the fire down here because the greater judgment. Certain people need to be on them. Anyhow, listen, Mr. Newey, the byproducts of rocket fuel, those are what I'm concerned about. What goes up must come down. So, I mean, you know, those are soluble in water. So, you know, viruses, et cetera, and the fallout. Let's take an example during World War II. And they said that they have bombs. I saw in Time magazine decades ago where there are nuclear weapons in the seabed off the coast of Georgia and in the Bahamas where they said that they are irretrievably lost. How can something be irretrievably lost? You know, the sheep on the plantation have no say, you know. Then you talk about the government negotiated. Nobody has anything to do with any negotiation. I'll say this. Ask them if they have a gun, because the PM is saying this, but they have nothing in their armor interior to detect anything, okay? Bless up.
Okay, thanks very much, 52. Let's quickly run through these texts because we're about to leave shortly.
All right. This text has been following the entire conversation. It says, Cecil, it doesn't matter. What don't we understand? It's one company headed by one man who has shown the world the way he operates. It's important to highlight that this path over populated areas is unusual to SpaceX, not normal in the aerospace industry, and is a nod to their rogue approach to everything. Falcon X, Starship X, the name doesn't matter. They're flying over populated areas. And last text I get. Okay, I got you, text. Good morning. Why we don't educate our people, our government don't have jurisdiction of the airspace to stop nothing. That's not necessarily the case, that we can't stop anything, even though we don't have quote-unquote jurisdiction over the airspace. Because here's the thing. Who declared jurisdiction over space?
And that's what I said. I'm not sure if anyone have jurisdiction over the stratosphere. We may have jurisdiction over our immediate atmosphere, but at a certain height. That might be some kind of international issue.
All right.
It's when they're coming down and leave the stratosphere.
And enters that we control.
Yeah, that we control.
Ask you if you heard the prophecy about man making fire come from the sky. Fire was for me. So I didn't follow up on the story. The text says also there is no space. There is nowhere to go up and away.
That's the flat earth theory.
Okay, please, Ms. Green, please correct the callers. The SpaceX donation to UB is $1 million, not a billion. Don't watch nothing. Everybody heard the person accidentally say a billion, and everybody knew that ain't nobody was giving UB $1 billion. Not today. Great show as usual. This is the Bahamas. If you tell someone don't touch something, that's like telling them, touch it. Insurance companies might call the falling debris force majeure, which are events that are unforeseen and beyond a party's control. No, it's not unforeseen. I was in the eighth grade when I read The Challenger, the book about Sally Ride, the teacher that died on the Challenger explosion. It's not an unforeseen event, not at all. But thank you very much for that contribution to the conversation. It's an important point. This government allegedly selling up. Oh, boy. There's such a public announcement that a spaceship will be launched. Like, one of the things we need to see, Mr. Newey, is what is the tentative launch schedule for the other 19 SpaceX Falcon 9 booster landings.
Yeah. And even over this Starship.
Right.
We need to have a calendar.
A calendar and then a plan.
Yeah.
Right? And so if I don't find any local information, go to the source.
Yeah. Anyway, this has been Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newey. Thank you very much, Aaron, for joining me. Have a wonderful day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.